It's been interesting over the last year watching how oncologists had sorted through the data that you presented last year. And actually, I think what I saw them sort of coming up with was, from a practical point of view, quote, "This doesn't help me any more than putting the other numbers that we already have into the Rabdin model." But now things sound very different with this new data on chemotherapy.
So I think maybe Rabdin model needs to be modified a little bit because, it so overestimates the benefit in the low-risk patient.
Well, it sounds like it might be underestimating the benefit in higher-risk
That's
patients.
correct too, right? So my personal prediction is that when people see this data, I'm sure that they will want the test done because nobody wants the chemotherapy when it's not going to work. Whether this is an economical approach is a big question because it's so expensive. I really regret that it's so expensive. So I'm sure that there will be a lot of competing assays being developed that will be me-too assays that claims to do the same thing. And obviously, as a clinical trial group, we are interested in supporting all of the kind of studies. And I'm in my lab trying to develop kind of competing assays to GHI assay too, which is much cheaper, like based on histology, ER, the kind of things. But I guess it all depends on who's gonna really demonstrate reliable clinical study in a stepwise fashion, like we did with genomic HIs, that a marker is a reliable, reproducible clinical marker, because the patient, when they get the result, has to have a confidence in the result.
I'm just trying to kind of think this thing through here. So you have a doc who has a patient who has a node negative, ER positive tumor, and they look at the tumor size, grading, all the traditional variables, and they come up with the fact that this patient has, let's just say, a 10% risk of recurrence using the conventional variables. So basically, what this new data is saying is that within that cohort of patients, you can pick out patients who, in fact, have very high risks of recurrences who are going to respond to chemotherapy. Is there any risk at which you wouldn't be able to find patients like that? In other words, maybe you have a patient who has a 0.5 centimeter node negative low grade tumor. Would you still be able to find patients like that?
That's a good question, and I don't have the answer because obviously the study is not big enough to be able to really tell.
What's your gut feeling?
My gut feeling is that for that kind of patient, maybe you don't need this test. So, if the tumor is high grade, high mitotic index, big tumor, probably there's no point of doing the test. It will be always that kind of cases where you are struggling in the clinical decision making that probably this test will really shine.
What about a patient who has a high-grade tumor in terms of trying to find people who actually, in fact, have a good prognosis within that group?
So when you are struggling with that kind of question, it will help, I think. For example, okay, I have a tumor which is very high grade, but it's HER2 negative and the ER is very high somehow. There are those strange cases always. And that's when I think this test will definitely help. And there are some obvious cases that will really look bad and which will be bad, I think.
What are the kinds of cases that this assay would be most helpful?
It's difficult to say, because we haven't really have chance to dissect out, okay, within this histological group, in this specific setting, or like a Peter Revdon's adjuvant program, this setting, how recurrence score performs. That kind of analysis will require, 100,000 patient study. So obviously we don't have that kind of data. So it's a little bit difficult to say that.